And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May 6th. Is that right? 2022. Yeah. Season 6. No. May 7th. Because I made this thing yesterday. I put in the 6th. Change that to the 7th. Saturday, May 7th, 2022. It is Season 16, Episode 16. And I'm Scott.
I'm Wendy.
And welcome to the show, everybody. RJ not here with us this week. Matt may join us in the in Discord later on. I threw that out there for him. I see that he's on. He just hasn't jumped into Discord. But anyway, feel free to do that if you have access to it. Want to get on the air with us, go to Discord and do so. Or call us, 334-272-9228 is our number here. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook. And you can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. .net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv and you can find us there. Search for In-Game Chat or go to our website. Scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll be able to find us or links to us where you can enjoy us on Discord, Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, all that stuff is there for you. Got a chat room going on right now. AC Wraith is in there. Multile's in there as well. Who else do we have? I mean, it's early. There's Lethal Migraine. Badger Dash. I don't know what that is. Soy Club? Soy Kluberville, maybe? Kluberville? I don't know. Anyway, strange names, but welcome to the show nonetheless. All right. Oh, yeah. Let me do this real quick. So that I can sync that up later. All right. Welcome to the show, everyone. We're going to jump into... There's Derek J.H., who is also in the chat room with us. We're going to just jump right into the news this week, just like we did last week. We'll save what we've been playing for the end of the show, even though there ain't much to tell you on my end of things. As far as that's, you know, I put the new card in on the PC, but I haven't played anything. I haven't played anything with it. I've run some tests on it, and I did some undervolting with it and that sort of thing, and, you know, just basically got it in there and really haven't run any kind of test with it or anything. I looked at my library of games, and I'm like, what do I install to test this thing out with? I couldn't think of anything. I hadn't bought a graphically demanding PC game in I don't know how long, much less have I bought a PC game in a long time outside of, like, little small things. Or little things you pick up off of Humble Bundle and stuff like that. They're nothing that's very demanding of the card that I have, but yeah, new cards in, it's working great. There's so much RGB in the box. It's a lot of lights, but when your PC is like 90% glass, you want to make it look good, I guess. I don't know. I'd never done an RGB build before. And by the way, for anybody who wants to know, it's just everything lights up inside the case. I've got three fans on the bottom, three fans on the top, and three fans in the back, and they all light up. My RAM lights up. My AIO cooler lights up. My graphics card now really lights up. And even the cables to my motherboard light up.
My computer, nothing lights up.
Right, because you have my old box, which was not built for that. No. You know, it sits on the floor. You put a lamp or a plant on it. You know, use it as a furniture.
I have my keyboard that lights up and my...
you have your mouse pad. That's right. I didn't mention those. Mouse lights up, mouse pad lights up, keyboard lights up.
So I'm happy.
Yeah. And she got basically the same thing on that regard. So, but yeah, it's a lot of light.
It's so much light that I have to close.
But we close the door when we go into bed at night. Yeah, but it's a lot of light, and that's fine. It's probably not a build I'll ever do again in that regard, because it is wires as far as that's concerned is a mess. It is a mess. It's pretty to look at, but that's fine. The next time I do a build, if I keep the case, I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. But I would say the next time I do a build from scratch where I'm putting in all new everything, I'm not really going to care that much about the light up stuff.
Well, I'll take the light.
This will be the hand-me-down to you. Yeah.
Yes, when you tire of the lights, just send them next door into my little office, and you can look at them anytime.
Yeah. I hope you guys can hear Wendy. It sounds I can barely hear you.
I don't hear myself.
I have you all the way up
on
the thing. So,
okay.
You know. Yeah, exactly. There's not a lot of wire space. It all fits. Lethal Migraine says that's why you get a case with lots of wire space in the back. It all fits. And I tried to, we'll talk about it later. Is this Chris? I'm throwing
Chris.
That out there, you know, I don't want to, I'm sure it is, but I want to make sure. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you, man?
So you got it all put together and enjoying it.
Yeah. It's all put together. I did all these updates on my BIOS and all sorts of other things to get drivers for, because I really hadn't gone through and done a check on, like, hey, what needs to be updated on this machine? Because I built it in October 2020, and I think I ran a driver check last summer. As far as I can tell from some of the downloads that I saw, I did something in June of last year to update some things. But I hadn't done it since then, obviously. And so, you know, prior to this, I did a whole download of drivers and then got it installed. And tried to do some cable management in the back once I had it, because I took it apart, did some cleaning, dusting, all that other stuff, and figured might as well, since I'm going to get into this thing, I might as well, get it nice and do a spring cleaning on it, you know? Take that one time a year. You should probably do it more than once, but, you know, at least do it one time a year where you pop the case off and you spray it down as far as the air compressor and get the dust going and just take a look at things and, you know, just spring cleaning on your PC.
I've never seen different builds stuff, but is it possible to, like, do a wall mount system where you get to have the different components mounted to the wall and then run cables?
Oh, no, it's very possible. I've seen plenty of those. It's almost artwork the way that they have them up on the wall like that. It's not anything that I would ever consider doing, but it is really, really cool because there's so many different ways you can do them on a board, you know what I'm saying? Like you can strap them to a board, hang them on the wall, or you can do them where they hang on the wall themselves. There is nothing behind them in that's holding all the parts. It is the wall that holds all the parts.
Yeah.
And then you have them connected with these, you know, RGB wires and everything else that lights up or has little animations or things like that. There's plenty of those builds that exist. That's a lot of time and effort, I would think, but not necessarily anything I want to go into.
I figure they may have a little adapters to change the angles of, like, the old graphics cards where they fit into the motherboard at different angles where you can make them slimmer, you know, and custom fit the different pieces all together.
Yeah, I mean, you just do a Google
yeah, that kind of stuff.
Like wall PC builds, maybe, is what you're talking about. I'm not exactly sure what the terminology is for that kind of a setup with your PC parts all splayed out on the wall to, you know, the way they're completely naked. There's no casing. It's just, like I said, it's like a picture. It's like a picture frame. It's like a work of art on the wall.
Yeah.
At least some ways. Mine would not look like that. Mine would look horrible. Mine would just, people would question why I even did it. I also don't have wall space in the office now that I think about it. The desk itself has these shelves, and so it covers up all the wall space. I just realized that. Yeah. It also kind of prevents me from having a really nice multi-monitor setup. I can have one, but I've seen others where, you know, it looks seamless, or they are just right next to each other, or there's a lot of real cool designs. I am limited in that because of the way that my desk is set up.
Well, have you seen those different, I'll have to send you a picture and send you a message on Facebook through the Messenger, you know, through and all the and that. But what I'm using for my 4K monitor to, you know, for my gaming setup with the PlayStation and all, it mounts. It can mount to the side of a desk or maybe to the back of a desk, and it's, you know, it's basically a long round pole, and it has different arms that swivel out and then join to it. And the arms stretch out where you can change the angle and adjust it and everything. But I've seen several of those like that that have where you can have, you know, that first initial pole, you can have two arms or two arm structures coming from that single pole where you could have one for one monitor and one for the other. So have you thought about something like that?
Yeah, the way my desk is, it won't work that way.
It won't. Huh?
No, because it is... If I were to do that, the monitors would have to be so far back from me to fit two side by side like that. Again, it's the way the desk is set up. It's a corner desk with shelves. So it goes into the corner of your room, and then there's shelves on either side that come out from that center there. And there's a small area where your monitor sits, built for one single monitor. Now, the further back you go, obviously that wall, the barrier kind of expands. You can't see it because you're just sitting there, but there's room. So if I were to put two monitors next to each other, they would have to sit much further away from me, in order to make those work. So I can't use those kind of arm things. I could use a single arm. I know what you're talking about. It kind of gets rid of the stand for the monitor, which makes it look really nice and clean. Gives you a lot more room because you don't have to worry about the stand for the monitor itself. But yeah, I can't do side by side like that. I can do one on an arm like that in front of me. It would still put in the position, and then I have either side of me, I have desk space to sit another monitor. There's going to be a gap in between them, but, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way I could explain it.
I have to take a picture.
And I can't think of it. I've got an old picture somewhere of the desk. Back when I built the computer that predates currently the one you're using, Wendy, the one that was built before that, I have a picture of it because when I finally built it and got it set up, and I was proud of myself. Let me take a picture. Yeah, here's my it's workstation. This was back before you ever thought about running dual monitors. This was back before you ever thought about putting light up fans in your computer or anything like that. The most light up thing I think that we had, what was it? Your RAM didn't light up. I think it was built in the case itself. I can't remember. There was something blue that lit up in the thing, and I can't remember what it was, but that was the only color you got. It was blue. It may have been the post light. I'm not sure. But anyway,
I have to send you a couple pictures of the back end, and also where that initial pole that everything mounts to. I was afraid that the weight of the monitor, because I've got three extension arms plus the one that adjusts the height up and down, and then at the end of it, it swivels all around, you know, where you can adjust the monitor. So I figure that thing's sticking, you know, it's sticking, you know, a good 5 or 6 feet out from the side of where its support base is. And I'm thinking, I don't want this thing twisting and turning and breaking the wood that it's on, because it's on a thick slab, you know, a custom cabinet frame that I built myself. I'm thinking, I don't want this thing splintering and cracking and everything. So you've seen the old-fashioned doors, like in houses where it has, you know, the metal door with a wood core in it. I basically did the same thing like that, and then put metal beams and structures around the top and bottom, and sandwiched around the whole structure there.
You just reinforced it.
Yeah, I reinforced it with metal and bolted it together with about 6 or 8 bolts, where it's kind of like the wood metal door constructions, where it's got like the wood core in those metal doors for a house. So, yeah, I reinforced the living heck out of it. So, Yeah, it's not coming apart now.
You're a crafty man, Chris.
Yeah, I thought, you know, well, I want it to be like this, but it needs to be stronger than what it is now, and I want to make it where it won't ever break.
Yeah, no, you built the stand for the iPad or the Switch or whatever you want to put in, a really cool stand, and then you're doing this with, you know, your monitor setup and everything else. Yeah, I'll see if I can find it. If not, I'll just take a brand new picture. Might as well to show you what this, you know, this light up contraption that I've got in the house that probably draws more energy than anything else in that room.
Probably why
you
the
room
is so hot.
You won't need a night light in that room, will you?
No, not at all. No, you don't. The weird thing was when I got everything installed, I guess it changed, probably updating the BIOS or something like that. I don't know, but it changed all my settings. So now the computer goes to sleep. Well, it doesn't anymore. I fixed all that, but the computer gets put to sleep if you don't mess with it for a while. And like when it goes into sleep mode, or maybe it's a hibernation stage or something, man, that thing just shuts off. I walked in there because my worry was, so I left it alone. I walked away from it. I came back and I thought my computer had crashed. I thought, oh no, I'm running into a problem with the new card and it's doing something. It's shutting down the machine. Oh great. Now I got to troubleshoot and figure out what this is. Nope, not at all. Computer was just asleep and it completely turns off all the lights. I mean, it's like it's off. It's been a long time, by the way, if you can tell that I've used sleep or hibernate on my computer. I guess I come from a time before that existed, and I've just never been an advocate for it. I'm like, no, leave it on. I don't know why, but that's I'm sure that it's gotten better over time, but I do remember it was not. I think I had a bad experience once where it went to sleep and it never woke up.
And you just either have it on or you shut it down.
I can't remember, but I had a bad experience because I am adamantly against the computer going to sleep. I don't know why. I'm sure it's completely healthy and probably good for the PC.
Don't worry, you're the same way. I do the same thing with the PlayStation. It's either off or I shut it down myself and tell it to shut down.
Oh, I don't mind about those. My consoles, I'm fine with. I'm fine with those going into their little hibernation state or whatever that is, where you kind of still have access to them, sort of. But my PC was always like, no. Screen can go off. That's fine. But PC stays on.
Yeah, I'm the same way at different things, like that expensive LaserDisc video game system. Like I may have told y'all in the past, you know, it's got a circuit inside the big box machine that, if the pack that has a short in it, if you insert it with a short in there, and it blows one of those fuses, and then you have to take the big console apart, and the power board that it's located in is at the very bottom. You basically have to fold about three or four circuit boards out of the way and move this and that and unhook this, and no way in heck am I want to go through that.
So yeah.
Anytime I want to boot up or play any of the games, and even the ones that I've had recapped from that guy, I got the packs back from that guy in Tennessee, which is great experience with him, but even now, yeah, I'm going to take the cover off the packs, get the voltmeter out. Nope, there's no short on those two lines. Okay, it's good to go. Then to insert it into the system and then start playing it. And the next time I want to do it, I want to still do the same thing. I want to check it with that voltmeter, even though I know it's going to be safe. But I got to have it where I see or I hear no beep from the two leads touching together on the voltmeter. So as long as I don't hear a beep, I know I'm okay.
Well, outside of the LaserDisc games, have you played anything this week? You still working on, what were you working on?
Yeah, I'm
Horizon?
Working on more of Forbidden West.
And, yep.
I looked at the new two PlayStation Plus free games that came. I think it was something of Midgar or basically, and then the other one, the Curse of the Gods, then the two of the PlayStation 4 games that they had on there. And so, yeah, those looked interesting. I was wanting to get those eventually, so I downloaded those, and I may start jumping into one of those after a little bit.
All right, man. Well, it's always good to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling in, and have a good one.
All right, y'all have a good day. I'll see y'all later.
Later, man.
All right, bye.
Yeah, Multel says, I was going to say even XP had Hibernate for how fast my PC now loads up. I shut it down every time. I used to not turn it off if I was going to use it the next morning back in the day, but that was back before Windows 7 and a little bled over on that. Not sure what that means. That's the thing. I constantly just go to the computer. Obviously, during the day when I'm at work, I don't. But when I get up that morning, I go to the computer and check on some work stuff or whatever, and then, you know, I go to work. And then when I come home, turn the computer on again. And then throughout the night, I'll go back to the computer again for, you know, whatever reason it might be. And then I know I'm going to get up in the morning and use it again. I also kind of leave it on just in the case that there's any kind of trouble here, because it is my fastest connection to get to anything that may be going wrong here at the radio stations. Which, again, I'm with you, Multal, that it takes absolutely no time for the machine to boot, especially as it is now. And maybe that was the reason. Maybe that was the reason I was so not big about putting it in sleep or something like that. Maybe it was because the time for it to come back was, like, too long or something. I don't know. I can't remember. There was something that turned me off of putting the computer to sleep, much less turning it off. But yeah, so I was going to jump in the news for the beginning of the show here. So what we're going to do, since we're at the end of this break, we're going to take a commercial break. Then when we come back, we will dive into it. The big thing, of course, being Square Enix selling off some of their IPs and the studios that developed the IPs as well. Then the reason that they did it, and then just the sheer horrible luck that they had, or maybe that they deserve. I'm not sure. We'll get into that, and I'll tell you why I say that about the way that they deserve it. And honestly, this is a time when I wish RJ was here or Matt was here, and I'll explain exactly why that is when we come back from this break, because they can remember way back when Square Enix had a few, they were disappointed in some of their franchises. They're just hard to please. But anyway, we'll get into that. Music here from a game called Loop Hero. It is called Cosmic Temperance. And so we'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to the calm, cool sounds. Right? I didn't realize. When I pick out music, I start it, but then I kind of jump around into it to see, hey, what does it sound like few minutes in or just a couple seconds in or something like that. I obviously skipped ahead on this 7.5 minute track. I went a little far in to think, hey, this sounds fine. I'll let it play. This is from a game called Dorf Romantic. It's the name of the track is Orselina. It's a real chill city builder game. So I should expect music like this. Anyway, it's finally out of early access. It is a PC game that I bought maybe a year or so ago, but it is absolutely not something that will test your build whatsoever. Oh, goodness. Welcome back. We're going to jump in to talk about Square Enix, because that was the news that broke. It was not news I was expecting on a Monday. I guess it was a Monday. I think it was a Monday. But I didn't even know that they were looking for it to be sold or what they were doing. Just did not expect that to come from them. Yeah, this was Monday. At about 3 a.m. our time, it's something you would wake up to because Square Enix is a Japanese company. And so their businesses were going on while we were asleep. But the Embracer Group announced a deal to purchase a number of studios and properties from Square Enix. So it's not final, but it's pretty much done. So it's interesting. They're going to get Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, and Square Enix Montreal as well, which will probably get a name change, by the way. But the two Montreal studios and Crystal Dynamics, about 1,100 employees is what it says. The IPs that they're going to be getting are Deus Ex, Tomb Raider, Thief, Legacy of Kain. What else do they have? Yeah, well, that also means any other AAA projects or any other projects that are coming out of these studios, which we already knew ahead of time because Crystal Dynamics did when the Unreal Engine 5, not demo, but like presentation thing happened just a few weeks ago. Crystal Dynamics was part of it saying, yeah, we're using Unreal Engine 5 to build the next Tomb Raider game, which is interesting to think about because we didn't know we were going to get another Tomb Raider game. Tomb Raider started... I'm not exactly sure what year the reboot Tomb Raider came out, but we all of us here enjoyed it. It was a worthy entry into the series. It was a nice little, it was a good reboot into the franchise. I guess to kind of bring it into a more, I don't want to say modern setting, but at least modern technology wise, because it was built on a brand new engine. It looked on par with what games should look like in that generation, in this generation. and so had great gameplay mechanics. It didn't sell like, you know, it didn't do massive numbers. It didn't pull in like Call of Duty and Halo numbers. But it did well, at least from what we thought it did well. Not long after the release of Tomb Raider, or at least probably about, I don't know, a couple months in or something, that Square Enix, I don't know if it was not a conference call, but an investor call or something like that. One of those things where, you know, it was kind of officially said that they were disappointed in the sales of Tomb Raider. Two things about that. The first Tomb Raider, or at least the first Tomb Raider reboot, I believe, was... exclusive or not exclusive? I thought it may have been exclusive to Xbox, or at least it had like a year exclusivity on Xbox systems and PC as well, because I think that's where I played it. But that's a good, like, throw on Tomb Raider. This is going to happen, by the way, now that I have a card. I did fire up Assassin's Creed and ran the benchmark on that, but I didn't actually play the game, Valhalla. I just ran the bench test, and I ran the Haven benchmarks, and I did the 3D Mark and all that stuff. So, but anyway, back to the whole reboot thing or whatever it was. the sales, they weren't happy with what it had done. They also, I don't think, released any numbers for it, or maybe Xbox released numbers or something. There was just, for us, we couldn't understand. For us, it seemed like it was a success. For Square Enix, it was horrible. Or it just did not live up to whatever their expectations were. And I'm not sure what their expectations were, given that it was an exclusive title, or at least for a year was an exclusive title. I believe you can find it now on, I think you find it on all the systems now. I think that exclusivity window is done for Tomb Raider. Anyway, it didn't do well by Square Enix's standards. For us, it was fine. For what we could tell, there was no problem with it. And so when they announced that they were doing a sequel, we thought, oh, okay, that's fine. And then they announced they're going to do a third one to complete the trilogy. I was like, well, there you go. It's not bad. Of course, the second and the third one had multi-platform releases and I guess did well enough to finish out. Although it's still in the back of our heads, we're still thinking that Square's just not happy with that franchise. Why? But if they weren't, why did they keep going with it? I don't know if there were contractual obligations or if they looked at it and said, you know what, that's decent. Keep going. Maybe it'll get better. Maybe we'll release the second one and it's from the start, it'll be on all the systems and we'll get a better revenue, get our money back or that sort of thing. And it's very, very strange because we just mentioned Crystal Dynamics, Eidos Montreal, Square Enix Montreal as well. We mentioned Deus Ex, Tomb Raider, Thief, Legacy of Kain, those AAA products. All of these in a world where studios are being bought by the billions. $300 million for all of that. It feels like something I probably could have gotten a loan for and bought them myself. And obviously I couldn't, but in comparison to what all these other sell-offs had been, with Microsoft buying Activision for billions of dollars, Sony buying House Marquee, Bungie, that sort of thing for billions of dollars. Here comes Square Enix. Yeah, take our Tomb Raider stuff. Take our Deus Ex. We don't want that stuff anymore. How much you want for it? I don't know. How much you got? $300 million? Yeah, we'll take it. That's fine. Just, you know, they lowballed it. The company is the Embracer Group who has bought them. Let's see. Square Enix bought... I'm reading this article from Kotaku. Square Enix bought Eidos and Crystal Dynamics along with it in 2009, and while initially overseeing a number of well-received reboots of series like Tomb Raider and Deus Ex, later games in those properties, along with licensed efforts like Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy, no matter how high their review scores ended up being or how many copies they would sell, Square Enix would always say the game had underperformed. It's exactly what they said. There's even they even link to where Square Enix said that. And they did. They said it about the Avengers, which is fine. The Avengers should have underperformed. That thing was not ready. And also is just, it's gross. I say that without even having played it. I only can tell you that from all the news articles I read about all the problems that they had with it. Also, all the reviews about people saying like, it's all right. It's not what you should have gotten for an Avengers game. On Guardians of the Galaxy, on the other hand, absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fine with it. Wonderful story. Gameplay is meh, but the story makes up for that. Also, some of the fights, while repetitive, so the dialogue and everything else, they just don't last long enough to... There's many of them, but they don't last long enough for you to feel like that's all there is. There is constant progression. There's constant movement, very linear, not, open world expanding. So you feel like you're always making progress and you're not getting sidetracked. Great game there. But yes, Square Enix also said, Guardians didn't do what we thought it would do. Although it had a massive resurgence in sales once it went on sale for Black Friday, which is where I picked it up. It also received more sales, or at least more price drops, as recently as the beginning of this year and on into the year, where it was down in the $25 range from time to time. Now it's on Game Pass. You can play it. If you've got Game Pass, you can just play it there. And I would suggest if you do have Game Pass to play it. It's great. Guardians of the Galaxy is a great game. Deus Ex, great game. The sequel, I don't know. I didn't play the sequel. I own the sequel. Maybe I should play it, but I haven't played the sequel yet. But the first one was great. Tomb Raider, like we said, all three actually have been good. Tomb Raider, Rise, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, I think, is the other one. Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. All really, really good. Back to the article. Perhaps knowing that the first question most folks would have following a deal like this would be, so what's happening with those series? Embracer's press release, which again, Embracer Group is who bought these new things, says the acquisition brings a compelling pipeline of new installments from beloved franchises and original IPs. It is corporate speak all the way, including a new Tomb Raider game. The acquisition builds on Embracer's mission of creating a leading independent. I don't even want to read through this. It's all just crap. There are compelling opportunities. Corporate speak right here. There are compelling opportunities to organically grow the studios to maximize their commercial opportunities. This is somebody wrote an AI and fed it information and said, okay, now spit out a press release, and then this is what you get. It's horrible. But there are people's jobs who are to write these things, and I can only imagine there is the office document writer's guide to making the most out of very, very little. Anyway, the article goes on to say this is vague, but still more hopeful for fans for something like Deus Ex than Square Enix, who have just been completely silent and just neglect it. You know, there was word about Ubisoft being bought, and there's still some real, interesting thought behind possibly what may happen with Ubisoft. It's like there's a family, I don't even want to butcher their name, but it's a family who I think owns most of it and are thinking about owning all of it before they sell it off or something like that. So, but it would be great if somebody came in there and bought Ubisoft and said, hey, all these dead properties that you're doing nothing with, we're going to do something with them. Maybe. I don't know. But, you know, Splinter Cell, that's all I'm talking about. The purchase is expected to be completed during the second quarter of Embracer's financial year, so July, September of this year. Embracer spent $1.3 billion on just Gearbox software. One company that makes Borderlands. Yes, they make more than just Borderlands, but at the moment, that is their that's their thing. You know, that's their Mario. So, you know, Nintendo's got their Mario. So Gearbox has their Borderlands. $1.3 billion for one studio. $300 million? They got a deal. They got a deal. And the weird thing is, how did nobody else, get on this deal? Especially Embracer Group. I wouldn't hear of them. But, you know, somebody like Microsoft or a Sony or a Nintendo, or even some other studio, like an EA or Ubisoft, to reach in there and say, okay, we'll take the Tomb Raider franchise. We'll take Crystal Dynamics. We'll pull them under our wing. $300 million, sure. I don't know. To get all of this from the experienced studios to the beloved properties for almost $1 billion less seems like a steal. So why sell? Square Enix said the transaction will assist the company, being them, in adapting to the changes underway in the global business environment by establishing a more efficient allocation of... This is just going to be PR speak 101. Wait a second. It does go on. In addition, the transaction enables the launch of a new business by moving forward with investments in fields including blockchain, AI, and the cloud. The article says, imagine having to put on your CV that you sold Tomb Raider to at least partially fund some kind of blockchain crap. Here's the fun part about that. That was Monday. On Wednesday, the whole blockchain market collapsed. The whole NFT thing, all that stuff, just it fell 92% from last September. I'm reading this article. Again, this article comes from Kotaku. It says, yesterday we learned that Square Enix is intending to sell those studios to the Embracer Group, along with IPs for the games that we mentioned earlier on. Why? Because to quote Square Enix, transactions that we... Which is to say, it previously announced desire to milk the NFT blockchain market. Companies are literally selling a line of code or what they call a blockchain to repackage the extremely old idea of digital asset ownership as the next big investment you should get in on now while the going is good. It's not good. It was never. It was good for just a little bit of time if you were lucky to get in on it and get in, get it, and then sell it. You know, get in, have it, you know, pump and dump, basically. Get it to sell it the highest you could. As soon as you could, because it was just shaky ground, and it was something I was. We looked up stuff like that. Wendy and I watched some videos, and like, hey, okay, we had wanted to educate ourselves. What exactly? I thought I had an idea of what NFTs were. I was more or less. I was there with it. There was more to it than what I thought there was, but it all still felt. I don't want to say superficial, but shaky. Like not necessarily legitimate, but. It's strange that is something that you would consider worth the money that you would pay for it, especially some of the money people were throwing around buying things with. It was just like, eh. So, yeah, it says, unfortunately, a lot of these wear expensive suits and talk loudly in boardrooms and with every other aspect of the scam fest that is Web 3.0. Businesses have been desperately scrambling to profit before the whole illusion blows away on a breeze. And it seems that breeze might have shown up earlier than anyone was expecting. The opening line of the Wall Street Journal article says the NFT market is collapsing, citing not only that 92% fell in sales, but also the extraordinary drop of active wallets by 88% since November. This is in part due to the rising interest rates, but in turn is causing the richest to be far less risky in their speculation. And you can't get much more speculative than betting on mass delusion of JPEG ownership. Unfortunately for many of us, many game publishers are betting on this one-legged horse, and the consequences could be bleak. A lot of them were trying to get into that whole NFT and everything else, but yeah, I think it's done, and I'm hoping it's done. But it also feels like that was a bad time for Square Enix to get in on that. Now, this could be just a dip, and it may come back. This could be something where Square Enix said, okay, we didn't invest in anything yet, so we're good, because obviously the sale hasn't gone through. So that's okay, that I know of, but yeah, hopefully they'll not go into that market. There were a couple of game studios. We had a couple of news items where I didn't even go over them in previous weeks, where a couple of other little game studios were trying to get into the NFT market, and they would get such blowback from the community of like saying, no, if you do this, we're not only will we not buy it, but we will stay away from your product. And so, yeah, it's just genuinely been not a good thing and not something that has been quick to take hold, I guess. I think it's more of a sense of, it was like, hey man, if this is the next Bitcoin, I want to be there for it. You know, we used to give Bitcoin away as a you know, consolation prize. We talked about that either on the morning show or we talked about it here one day where I want to say it was Blizzard did a tournament one day and like or one weekend was a tournament at Blizzard, and this was years and years and years ago, and first place was like a whole bunch of money, and second place was a little bit less than that, and third place was 800 Bitcoin, which if you had held on to, hey, you're sitting real nice today, but back then it was nothing. It was like, oh great, I got Bitcoin. What am I gonna do with Bitcoin? Get your mic off, sorry.
I know.
Did that? Oh, okay. I guess they hung up.
It was Chris.
Oh, it was Chris again. Okay, cool.
Yeah, the NFTs made him think of Butters, South Park.
Oh, yeah, was, okay.
Yeah.
It's been a long time since I've watched South Park. What else came with this buy? Well, we did get the lifetime sales of Tomb Raider. Square Enix's decision to sell a trove of franchises and studios to the Embracer Group has yielded some interesting info. Following Embracer Group's agreement to purchase Eidos Montreal, Square Enix, blah, 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 shared a timeline of the Tomb Raider franchise. According to the timeline, Tomb Raider has sold 88 million units since its inception in 1996. That does not include the, well, I mean, it does include the reboot, but this is going back to day one of Tomb Raider, the first time you ever heard of, or the first time anyone had ever heard of Tomb Raider. That's where that's going back to. 88 million units since 1996 for Tomb Raider doesn't seem like much, considering 88 million units is the number that, like, Call of Duty gets in a year to 2 years, maybe. Not even 2 years, probably within a year. And again, that's, you know, apples and oranges, because Tomb Raider and Call of Duty are completely different types of games. Let's see, 38 million of those lifetime sales come from the reboot trilogy alone. So almost half of the money that the Tomb Raider franchise has brought in since the very beginning has only come from the reboot since 2013, which should mean, hey, that's good. You know, if you're taking, like, here's total sales, we've done half of that with just these three games, considering how many Tomb Raider games came before that. And there were a lot more than three, I can tell you that. Additionally, the franchise saw more than 53 million paid mobile downloads from entries like Relic Run and Lara Croft Go on your phones and that sort of thing. The timeline shows other Tomb Raider games like Guardian of Light, Temple of Osiris spinoffs, as well as games before the 2013 reboot with Legend, Anniversary, and Tomb Raider Underworld. Tomb Raider brand is a strong one, saying this is just looking at the games. We still have an entire transmedia world out there known for films, new series coming, comics, and looking across what the possibilities are for this franchise. The best is yet to come, says Crystal Dynamics. Yeah, that was not including all of the film stuff that they've done. With, what is it, three movies now? I think maybe another one we'll get another Tomb Raider movie. We're supposed to at some point. But the two Jolie movies, and then the Vikander, whatever her name is, Alicia Vikander, Varkander or something. I can't remember. The woman who played Lara Croft in the most recent Tomb Raider. Didn't see it?
I don't know.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, Bama Brian asked, does that include the movies or just the games? That only includes the games. They're not talking about the movies. So, yeah. And then last month, they announced that they're working on a brand new Tomb Raider game utilizing Unreal Engine 5. So, yeah. Anyway, that's the whole deal with... That's the deal with Square Enix selling off their property there. By the way, the Embracer Group is, we talked about the fact that they have now all these other properties, but they bought other things. They own a lot of other properties as well. It looks like they own the Darksiders properties. They do have Gearbox now, so they own Borderlands. Star Wars Remaster Machine, Aspyr Media. That was in April of last year. Wow, in August of last year, they bought 3D Realms and seven other studios for $313 million. They bought a French board game publisher for $3 billion. Embracer Group got some money. They got a lot of money. Yeah. All right, well... that's the Square Enix drama that's going on. When we come back, we will hit some of the smaller little points of news here as we work our way through. I'm trying to think of what else there was to talk about. And I'm going through it now. World Video Game Hall of Fame inductees. That's going to be fun to talk about. NVIDIA got fined. The studio founder from the from Mafia 3, he is stepping down. In the meantime, apparently they're making a new Mafia game. Yeah, 3D Realms, I think they did Duke Nukem, yeah. They did do well. I tell you that 3D Realms did it, but I want to say Gearbox finished it off. Like Gearbox worked on one of the Duke Nukem games that was supposed to finally Duke Nukem Forever, I think is what it was they were supposed to make, but and they did make it, and it didn't do very well, from what I understand. So anyway. The time had passed. That was one of those things where it's like, here's everything that happened from the announcement of Duke Nukem Forever to the time that it finally got published. And it's like, in that amount of time, the Beatles were born. The members of the Beatles were born, created the band, and quit in the same amount of time it took for this game to get made. Yeah, something like that. It was one of those situations where it was just a massive gap of when it was announced and when it finally got released. So yeah, it was 30 years. It was 30 or 40 years, 35 years maybe, I don't know. It was long. Anyway, here's music from Ty the Tasmanian Tiger. It's a little platformer, you know, kind of Crash Bandicoot-ish, that sort of thing. I have to be careful saying that word. This track is called Shipwrecks. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music from, you know, it was Star Wars Day on the 4th of May. So I thought, well, let me grab some Star Wars music of some kind. And I don't know what took me to it, but Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 2. The title of this track gets cut off. It says Battle in the, and then there's the letter J. So I don't know exactly what comes after that. Battle in the jungle? Maybe the jungle? We'll just say the jungle.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's what we'll say. From Knights of the Old Republic 2. So, anyway, welcome back to the show. Yeah, and when Matt hears that, or if he is listening, he would know what that's from. He would know exactly what that's from. Or he would have a very good speculation that it's from a Star Wars game, most likely. Just the way the music was done there, so... that was another game that I was thinking about loading up on my new PC, even though the game is very old at this, well, I say very old. In terms of tech, it's very old. Jedi Outcast? Is that the one? The most recent Star Wars game that came out? The most recent single-player Star Wars game that came out? That Respawn worked on. And it was a couple years back. And so I thought about putting that on the machine. So I had to go find my Origin account and log into it. And I couldn't figure that out. And so anyway, I just said, well, I'm getting up. Yeah. Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order. That's what it was. I don't know why I said Jedi Outcast. I looked through my Steam library to see what I had for Star Wars, and there was a lot. There was, There was Jedi Outcast, Jedi Knight, Jedi Knight 2, Jedi Academy. There was Dark Forces, Dark Forces 2. Had a ton of Star Wars stuff, but it didn't have Fallen Order. I do have it on Origin, though, because I remember it was a free giveaway or something like that. So I have it on Origin. But I don't remember my login for Origin. So I have to... I had it on my phone, but apparently I've changed it since then because it didn't work. And it gave me other methods to log in with.
Yeah.
But I always feel like, well, no, it's not going to recognize. If I log in with that method, unless, of course, I have that link to my account, which I don't know that I do, it'll just consider, oh, hey, here you are. Here's your library of nothing because you've logged in something else. And so, I don't know. I've got to go through and see what's what. As far as I know, I think they got rid of the desktop app for it, maybe? I don't know. For Origin. It's so weird. I use the Epic Games Launcher and I use Steam, and that's it. I rarely use these other... I barely open up GOG, good old games. Bethesda had a launcher. They got rid of that. I had Blizzard for a launcher back when Destiny 2 was on it. That's gone now. So it's just... And I do not use the Windows games for Windows thing, whatever the Xbox stuff is that's on PC, because I can't make sure that that stuff's going to go when I install it. I would like it to. It was one of the reasons that I wanted the card that I wanted, because I wanted to play Flight Simulator.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized I can't play Flight Simulator because I would be installing it on a machine that it may not come off of.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
After all of this time and... Now you're not going to install.
Not until they get that fixed.
Okay.
Not until they get that fixed.
I know it's been on your list for a while. And
it has. It was one of the reasons I wanted to get the card to begin with, so that I can enjoy Flight Simulator. I didn't really put two and two together that, well, if I'm going to play Flight Simulator, I'm going to have to play it on the Games for Windows Live, whatever it is, the Xbox on your PC thing, which is what they have. Problem with that is that they have an issue where the games you install there, it's a toss-up whether you can remove them. And even if you do remove them, some form of them remains permanently, or it gets reinstalled. There's a lot of bugs to it, and there's no guarantee that it is or isn't going to happen to you. It's not like you can look at a... If you look at the last four digits of your, you know, the serial number on your whatever, your CPU or your memory or something, you know, there's no way for you to tell if it is and if it isn't. Even if you do it, even if I loaded up the game, played the game, had fun with it, said, okay, now it needs to come off, and I took it off, there's no guarantee that the next game that I put on it will not have the same problem. There is absolutely, it is a completely random thing that may or may not happen.
Well, it will happen with you.
Right. And it may or may not happen every time you do it. So even if it happens once with one game, doesn't mean it's going to happen again on the next game. If it doesn't happen on a game, doesn't mean it's not going to happen on the next one that you install. And I just don't want to deal with that. I don't like things that you install on your PC that you cannot get rid of.
So you don't need a card now. Okay.
So I'll just give it to you.
I know.
All right.
Nice how that works out.
Well, there's lots of other games I can play. It doesn't have to be Flight Simulator.
I know.
What it did do is open up the door to start playing games on PC.
Yeah.
Guardians of the Galaxy is definitely a game I probably would have picked up on PC way back when, because that's just where I would go. But it was like, no, nope, I'm going to play this on my Xbox, because it looks better than what my PC can do. Jedi Outcast was one where I was going to do it on... Not Jedi Outcast, I'm sorry. Did it again. Fallen Order was another one I was going to do on console, because, you know, I didn't have it on PC and I didn't have a card that could run it. Control is another game that I was going to do that with. And that I own on all the systems now because of all the freebies that they've done as well. So... Yeah, it opened up the door to say, okay, when this game gets released, now I can say, do I want it on here? And I think I'm starting to already form like my method. Is it getting a Game Pass release? If it's getting a Game Pass release, then that's where I'm going to play it. because it doesn't cost me anything. I mean, it does, but you know what I mean, a subscription, but I still get to play it there. Trek to Yomi, which is one I downloaded this week, have not played it, but it is on PlayStation, and I think it's on also PC, but I can play it on Game Pass. Don't have to worry about it. There's a couple of others like that. So I think that's already going to be my method. It's like, first off, is it coming to Game Pass or will it be on PlayStation Plus or something like that? Is there any outlet where it is free for me to play? Barring that, it'll come down to where is it the cheapest? Usually PC winds up being that, the PC version, because people sell those things digitally and they you know, here's your 30% off, your brand new member, 30% off of this, whatever you want to buy, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. That's probably where my head will go and how it'll work. Moving on from that, though, since I like to ramble, what else do we have? We talked about The Quarry last week, which is the new game from the developers who did Until Dawn, Man of Medan, those interactive like horror movie games. We said there was like, I don't know, 100 some odd different endings for this current one. You can also play a movie mode where you can set the personality for all the cast members of it and then let it play out and see how they make their decisions on their own based on the personality traits that you gave them, so that you can see the whole thing play out and you never actually have to play the game. You just watch the movie. Now they have a death rewind feature, which lets you undo your fatal mistake. So if you make a choice that gets a character killed, you can do a rewind to come back and make a different choice if you would like to do that. I don't know the context of how all this fits in, because there's a lot here for this game. I don't know. It is technically a spiritual successor to Until Dawn. Man of Medan is on its own. Until Dawn, it's on its own. The other games that they've made have all been, it's an anthology series. They all sit on their own. This one does too. However, it's closest in relation to what Until Dawn was, which was the whole teen slasher flick, which is exactly what you're getting about The Quarry. I even think David Arquette's in it. I'm not sure. But I don't know what the context is. Like, well, if you're going to have this rewind feature, then that will eliminate like achievements, or will you can only play it in this mode if you're going to use this feature. I don't know. Also, is this something that they're going to carry on in games that come after it? I don't know. It's the first time they've done a death rewind that I know of. It's also the first time I've known that they're having that many endings for a game, and the first time I've known that they are doing the whole you can just sit it down and watch the movie play. You don't have to actually play it. You can just watch it as entertainment, and then you can go back and change it up again and watch it again and see what the outcome is.
Well, we need to play around with that.
Well, it's not out yet.
Well, okay.
it's
well, when it's time.
I think it comes out this summer or this fall. Let's see. The Quarry director Will Biles recently explained how the upcoming slasher-inspired horror game's Death Rewind mechanic will work. If you're playing a supermassive game, which is the studio that builds these things, you can probably expect one or more of the characters to die in your playthrough. The Quarry is set to be no different. But the director explained a new mechanic that will be available in the game once players have... Oh, okay. You get this mechanic once players have beaten the game that will let them undo a select number of deaths. So once you've beaten the game, you will have this feature unlocked for you to enjoy. Death Rewind is a retry mechanic that unlocks after you've gone through the story or if you purchase the deluxe edition of the game. Okay. So you can pay for it. You can pay extra to have it before you beat the game. You're essentially granted 3 lives that enable... Okay, so it's also limited. You're granted 3 lives that enable you to avoid a character death at the cost of using one of your lives. You'll be taken back to the moment you made a critical choice that results in the character's death so that you can make a different choice. While it's a little iffy that the mechanic... that would be useful to have even from your first playthrough, he explained the quarry takes around 10 hours to get through, depending on the player. The game is also designed to be highly replayable, as we think many will want to go down alternate paths and make different choices. If you're looking to experience every permutation of the story for the quarry, you'll find yourself playing for a very long time. 186 different endings.
Wow.
In the game. Who do we have on the phone?
Biloxi Gambler.
Yeah, he likes these games. I figured he might call in. Hey, man.
Hey, yeah, I listen all the time. I got to wait till Chris calls first. Respect.
Yeah.
And anyway, okay, so there's also another game called The Devil Inside Me, but I don't know if it's for PS4. It may be PS5 only because it didn't offer that to me. It's by the same company.
Let's see. Okay, there's The Devil Inside video game, and then there's A Devil Inside Me, which was a 2011 film.
No.
Let me see this video game, because this looks...
I may have the name wrong. It's got something devil, but it's from the same, what's the name of this? It's Bondi something, and Supermassive Games.
Yeah, it's Supermassive. That's what I'm going to... Supermassive Games. I'm going to look at that real quick.
I saw it, but they didn't offer to sell it to me.
Let's see. I'm going to their games here to see if I can find... We've got House of Ashes.
Yep.
Little Hope.
Yep. I can talk about that.
Man of Medan.
Yeah, I love that game, and I highly recommend it. I think you've got it. Now that game... I highly recommend that game. And then after you play the game, then look up what it's based on historically.
Which one are you talking about?
Man of Medan.
Man of Medan, okay.
Yeah, it's based on, like, real history.
Well, there's a little picture here of what House of Ashes looks like, and the statue that I see behind them looks like it's straight out of Exorcist.
The Sumerian Desert.
Yeah, the Exorcist in there, which is not Isuzu, that's a car. Pazuzu.
Pazuzu.
Easy for you, sir.
It's Joe Isuzu. That's who it is. No, the other games that they have here I see are something called Shattered State, which I'm not familiar with.
Man.
Hidden Agenda. I don't know about that one. What do we have? The Inpatient, which was a VR thing. And then one game, actually, it looks like. Little Nightmares 2.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't see anything with...
the word devil in it?
Okay. Yeah, I don't see anything with devil in it.
Well, Amazon had it on there because I finished Little Hope. And then you turned me on to House of Ashes. I'd never heard of it before last Saturday. And so I ordered it. I got the hard copy right here in my hand.
Haven't played it yet, though?
I haven't put it in. No, I usually do that. I'll do that after your show, probably tonight after the sun goes down.
Okay.
Because I like to play these spooky games when it's spooky. Now, Little Hope, when it's dark, Little Hope is a very, very spooky game.
Okay.
It's a horror movie, whatever like that. And I'm not giving anything away, but I do not recommend the game. I mean, everything is great about the game until you get to the end. And then you go, my mouth dropped. I'm like, are you kidding me? You cannot possibly be kidding me.
How much time did you put into it before you got to that ending?
It really only took an hour and a half of gameplay.
Really?
Yeah, it was quick, yeah. And wow. it really wasn't much to it, and it's like they got lazy and said, okay. I mean, they came to an ending. And then they pushed it a little further and said, okay, because normally I'll play like Until Dawn. I can't tell you how many hours I put into that. And then replayed it to try to keep more characters alive and all that stuff, you know.
How many characters did we have die? One or two? When Wendy and I played through Until Dawn, I think we only lost like one or two people.
Right, yeah.
Well, it was only
you know,
one.
You brag all you want. You know, I lost like four to start with.
Well, I mean...
Anyway, but y'all are gamers. But Man of Medan was fantastic. I'm still blown away by Man of Medan. I'm going to play it again. I'm just letting it sit till I forget some of the choices that I made and all that.
That's perfectly fine.
What's that?
Oh, no, I said that's perfectly fine to let it sit and wait, especially since you've got that copy of the game you haven't played yet. So, you know, go through that.
The only reason, you turned me on the House of Ashes, and then you said the quarry's going to come out, and I always like to keep one of their title you know, to look forward to in the future.
Okay.
And but no, I was really disappointed with the ending. A little hope. I'm not going to say on the air why. And in fact, I've got a friend that I pass them off to, and her kids are going to play it. and I said, well, do you want to? And she goes, I don't think I'm going to play it. Go ahead and tell me. And I said, well, you think about it, and I'll let you know in a few days when I see you. I'll give it to you. And but I don't want to spoil it for everybody.
Well, then don't. Yeah, don't.
I mean, it's you are. It's very good. Very, 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 very good. Until you get to the end, and then you are angry. And anybody wants to know why they're angry, it's easy to look up online, because I'm like, I know that didn't just happen. And then I looked up, and everybody else is complaining about it, too.
Oh,
but
wow.
Yeah, there's little hope. Yeah, there's little chance I'll play it again. That's what it is. But anyway, I'll talk to y'all later, I guess.
All right, man. Well, take care.
Right,
enjoy
bye-bye.
Your game.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'll let you know.
Yeah, do. Please do. See ya.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, no. Play it and then, you know, let us know how it goes, especially since you're going down that path of all these supermassive games. Definitely put time in on that one and then let us know how it is compared to everything else you played. You're our supermassive guy because I think RJ may own some of them, but I don't think he's played. I know he's played Until Dawn, but I don't think he's played much further than that. In some of the others. What else do we have? The Prince of Persia remake is not having a good time for whatever reason that may be. But then again, it's Ubisoft. So yeah, this is what they do with older properties that were once successful. Nothing. They let them die in the name of loot crates. Well, not loot crates, but loot boxes or whatever. They let them die in the name of the system where we just have to continue paying money to get things out of their games, because that was a better road to go down, apparently, for companies than it was to continue to make quality things. But yeah, a little bitter about that.
A little bit.
So many studios did this, and I'm not exactly sure what the catalyst was for it. Probably mobile games. They looked at the way mobile gaming was going, as far as like, wow, mobile gaming made this much money. I wonder how they did that. Well, they offered it to you for free, but then they charged you for all these other little things. Okay, fine. Well, let's not offer it to them for free. Let's give it to them for a price, but then once they get in there, let's find out ways to keep them paying money on the same game. Let's find ways to monetize the playing of the game. It wasn't enough to buy it.
Right.
It was now you have to continue to pay while you play, not for a subscription service. Don't offer them subscription service, because that means you're only going to get so much money from them every year. Let's pack in a bunch of different things that cost us absolutely nothing to produce.
Right.
and charge them for it. And then let's find ways that we can continue that pace instead of making straightforward game. It's one of the reasons I'm surprised by games like Guardians of the Galaxy, where, oh, this came from a studio that was trying to monetize everything that they do with the Avengers. Games as a service is what they call it. GAS, G-A-S. Games as service. To get something that was single player, had no multiplayer aspect, had no microtransactions involved with it, where you could buy things to enhance your playing or something like that. It did come with like a digital deluxe version or a special edition, that sort of thing, but nothing beyond that. Nothing where you paid for in-game items that I know of. They didn't do anything with that. And so it was surprising to see that. Not surprising necessarily to see that it didn't actually do too well, or at least to Square Enix's views, it didn't do too well. Critically, the thing was great, but commercially, could have done better, I think. Call of Duty Tactics and Ghost Recon. Well, the only thing I had for Call of Duty was Activision blamed disappointing Call of Duty sales on World War II. They blamed the slowdown of sales on the World War II setting and lack of innovation. The games campaign was something of a time-hopping, globe-trotting mess following a special operations task force as it tries to thwart secret Nazi plots near the end of the war. While Call of Duty remains one of the most successful entertainment franchises of all time, our 2021 premium release, that's what they call it, a premium release, didn't meet our expectations, we believe primarily due to our own execution. The game's World War II setting didn't resonate with some of our community, and we didn't deliver as much innovation in the premium game as we would have liked. What's the alternative? Premium game. Is there something less than that? Or is that, what tier is premium game? Like Avengers, or not Avengers, you're Activision Blizzard. What would be another one? That's all you make, Activision. Call of Duty. Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't understand that. Activision doesn't mention that the game's campaign was extremely brief and cloyingly written, its zombies mode was widely panned, or that its seasonal content was quickly delayed. There's no mention of the toll taken on development at Sledgehammer Games by the ongoing pandemic either, even as the company plowed ahead with its brutal annualized production schedule. Perhaps most notable, the embattled publisher makes no mention of the fact that its marketing plans for the game were upended when the allegations of widespread sexual harassment and discrimination at the company broke last July. Yeah, that may not have, yeah, that didn't, you know. It could have been that we're a crap company that has done horrible things to our employees, especially those who were female.
I'll go with that.
The other thing is that now they're being sued by the state of New York. That was something else I forgot to mention. Activision CEO, well, yeah. Activision Blizzard has been hit with another lawsuit from New York City. New York City! The suit was filed Monday in the court, blah, 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 as part of a complaint to push Activision Blizzard to reveal documents for investigation of possible wrongdoing. Basically, they're being sued because they feel like Bobby Kotick, who is the CEO of the company and who really, where all the blame falls at his feet, everything that would come from lawsuits and all the responsibility will fall on him. In fact, and most of it is legit responsibility that falls on him. Most of it is his fault. Sure, there were employees who did that stuff. He didn't stop it, so it falls at him. But at the same time, there's evidence of him being, well, just a horrible person. But the suit says that he rushed this sale and the approval of this sale so that he can get out from under it, take his money and run, essentially, and not have to deal with everything that's going on through these lawsuits or get worse punishment than what he's already got or what he may have coming. It comes from various New York City employee retirement and pension funds which own Activision stock. The group alleges that Activision Blizzard's board, and specifically Bobby Kotick, costs the company value, underselling the game publisher to Microsoft as a means of benefiting itself and escaping potential liability. The suit also alleges that Kotick was aware of numerous credible allegations of misconduct by the company's senior executives, but did nothing to address them or prevent further offenses. The suit asks that Activision Blizzard be forced to hand over many documents, including those related to the company's recent acquisition by Microsoft, as well as several longer-standing requests about the company's workplace issues and Bobby Kotick's knowledge of those issues as well. The speed with which Kotick moved to not just set an offer ceiling, but to execute an agreement was to be expected, the suit reads. Not only did the merger offer Kotick and his fellow directors a means to escape liability for their egregious breaches of fiduciary duty, but it also offered Kotick the chance to realize substantial non-rateable benefits. Just him trying to get away from the thunder that's headed his way. We need to take a break for our last segment of the show. This comes from a game called Noita. I believe that's how you pronounce it. I don't know. Don't ever take my word on a pronunciation. N-O-I-T-A. This is called Holy Mountain. I don't know anything about Noita, but here's some music from it. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Music here from Startopia, which I think is like a, you build like a base in outer space or something. I don't remember what it is. Anyway, you build stuff in outer space. Startopia, the engineering deck is the name of this track, so I don't exactly know anything about it. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Multile, I did not, I missed that. Were you earlier in the chat room, and now I see you're saying it now, that the family's all sick and stuff. It's not COVID-related, which is good, but I hope, man, I hope you get better, because miss having you around, and Nabokov is in there. He was in the chat room there checking out some stuff earlier. So, in fact, let's go over the people who are hanging out with us today. Steven Van Damme. Soy Kluberville? I don't know. Nabokov Fan 87 Multile, Lowercase Rocket, Lethal Migraine, Kitten Rescue, Commander Root, Badger Dash, A10, another TV viewer, AC Wraith, all hanging out in the chat room. So thanks so much for you guys being there. We do appreciate it. What else do we have to talk about in the news? This was, talking about being sick. PAX East took place I think PAX East was going on over in Boston. Anyway, they have volunteers that they call enforcers who are basically just there to help out. Anybody wearing an enforcer shirt, you can just walk right up to them and say, hey, where's this? Where's that? Whatever you have, if you have a question about the convention, they're there to help you. Was exposed to COVID at this thing. One of their enforcers died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, now I don't know the health status of that person, underlying conditions, all the different things that you have to take into consideration. It's not just a factor of I got COVID and died. It's usually a factor of I got COVID and I also have all these underlying conditions.
Right.
And this is what sent me down the path of, whatever it might be. So just be careful. It's still out there. So, know yourself, know what you can handle and how safe you need to be. Just be careful, just protect yourself. So, it's not done. The backup says we are definitely not over this, needless to say. What else do we have? Well, we talked about the Activision thing. We got a look at what AEW's wrestling game is going to look like. It's developed by Uke, which they did other WWE stuff. And I saw a video of this AEW one. Looks good. Reminds me of WWE All-Stars, which was just a one-off thing. It was so arcadey in the wrestling. I mean, it's wrestling. It's probably arcadey to begin with. But the characterizations were overblown and just they wrestleized them, which is basically just over dramatized them and gave them more than what they were. And it was just it was a great game. It was really, really good. Yeah, I'm looking here. Lots of major leaguers going on in COVID. We're definitely going to remember this. Are you excited to chase the new GPUs at the end of the month? No, you said it was a refresh, I think. I'm not excited to chase any more GPUs. As far as I'm concerned, I'm set for 10 years. I am. My search is done for 10 years, unless, of course, there is some way to sell what I've got to pay for the next one, which is, in you know, very much a possibility whenever that comes around. But yeah, I'm good. So I am definitely not too worried about it. Yeah, going from I had a 970, which was Matt's card, because my 980 Ti caught on fire. So yeah, Nab, I'm sorry. Last week I mentioned that I got one. Yes, I did. I got a 3080. I got an EVGA, which is my first EVGA card. I've had an EVGA power supply before, but never a graphics card before. So this is my first EVGA card. It was a For the Win 3. It's FTW3 Ultra 12 gig thing. It's a 3080, not a 3080 Ti or 3090 or 3070. It's just a 3080. But it does have 12 gigs of RAM built into the card and a lot of lights also.
Just a few.
Yeah, I need to post some pics. I'll put some pics in the Discord there. Didn't go over this because there's not a lot of more time. Let me see if there's anything else that I want to hit here. We talked about the Mafia game. Fortnite is now part of Xbox Cloud Gaming, which means if you have an iPhone, you can go by the way of Xbox to play Fortnite, because Fortnite was pulled from the Apple Store, but now you can play it through other means, whatever. NVIDIA got fined $5.5 million for failing to acknowledge crypto miners juiced its profits. There's a whole thing to go over with that, but it's basically the fact that they let the scarcity of the product increase the price of it, and they knew why. Was because people were buying them to mine Bitcoin, and yeah, I don't know. It's a whole thing, but they got sued and they lost that lawsuit. Also, the FTC are investigating Sony purchasing Bungie because that is not yet a done deal, I don't think. Yeah. That I know of. Yeah, I know. $5 million is nothing to NVIDIA. Although, $5 million is still more than what Embracer Group paid to have all of those companies and those games that those companies make. At $300 million, like I said, compared to what they say, it's like I could have taken out a bank loan and bought those. I could have bought those studios. No. Yeah. As far as like, we got about 10 minutes here. Have you played anything other than we talked about 50 words? Is that what it's called? 50?
Yeah. I'm still playing my 50 word game.
Yeah, it's a word game. You got your word game, mm-hmm. And you got your Animal Crossing. Anything else new that you played?
No.
Okay.
No.
Nothing else new. Not really for me either. I finally wrapped up, doing a replay of Batman Arkham Asylum. The I guess watching the Batman movie got me like, hey, I haven't played this in a while, so I played Batman Return to Arkham or Arkham Asylum. Graphics are horrible.
Awful. Yeah, because I'm suffering like right there with you.
The weird thing is that we were in love with this thing when it came out back whatever year it came out. Like, it was a decent, it was finally a good Batman game, you know? It was like, hey, this is great. We had some problems with it because basically you play the entire thing in detective mode.
Right,
So we had some issues with it, but Arkham Asylum, I mean, obviously it had to exist in order to get what we got out of that, Arkham Origins, Arkham City, and Arkham Knight. But this first go-round in the game was just, it was not the best. It was not the best. And you're looking back on it however many years it's been, and it's like, the writing ain't that great. The plot's not too good, but it, whatever, it's, you know, it's not Shakespeare we're playing here. But going back through, I was like, man, this is, it's slow paced, but then again, it's very confined. You're in one area basically. I know they opened it up with Arkham City and made things better that way, because I can remember there I was doing a lot of things in Arkham Asylum that was based off of muscle memory from playing the later released games. You can't dodge knife attacks. I mean, you can, but you can't dodge them in the way that you could later in other games. You can't disarm, you know, enemies, where during a fight, there's ways where you can not only take the gun away from them, but disarm the gun so that nobody else can use it, or break the knife so that nobody else can use it, or the stun baton, or the riot shield, or something like that. As none of that stuff was in there. And so I'm like, oh man, not great. And so I'm actually looking forward to getting into City, because it does open up a little bit better for me, and it moves into the combat that I am more used to. Origins really puts the combat where it needs to be, and so does Arkham Knight as well. But I can take Arkham City, and I'll love the fact that I can move around more in that game as well. And it does, from what I remember, looks a little bit better, but I haven't played this remaster thing, this Return to Arkham thing. So, yeah, I'm playing on the Xbox One. I'm playing it on that system. And because of Game Pass, or at least Game Pass for, I think, Arkham Knight, I think, at least. But I am playing on the Xbox system. I've played them on the PC before. And so I guess this was just one where it's like, I can lay here and play it instead of playing it on the thing. And this was also before I had my card. So, but yeah, to go into what I was doing with the build, I played Destiny, I played Batman, I've downloaded Trek to Yomi, which I want to play, and that's it. I haven't put anything demanding on my PC that would push my card, except for bench tests and stuff like that. So yeah, I got the card last Tuesday, not this past Tuesday, but the Tuesday last, I got the card. I had to wait for these adapters for the power, because the card is too big for my case. And I think the power cords, I think the cords that go from the card into my power supply, I think they would fit. They would be bent to almost 90 degrees, almost right at it. And I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of them pushing against the glass, even though they're bent, or the glass pushing back and having the card push against the motherboard. I don't like any of that. And I had just read too much of where, I'm okay with it, or I'm okay with this, or that sort of thing. I hadn't read any problems. I didn't read where people were like, I have problems with this, or I'm getting issues with how cramped it is in my case. I hadn't read anything like that, but I didn't want to be the first to have that happen to, or just to, you know, mess around with my luck on these things.
No.
Tempered glass, by the way, breaks sneeze hard, and that thing will crack. So you have to be very careful. So they have these, what I found, and I can, if anybody's curious about the ones that I picked up, if you want, give me some more time with them because they've only been in there for about a week. And I haven't actually tested this, haven't pushed this card to see how well the power draw is as far as with these adapters. Basically, they're adapters that redirect the power. So instead of plugging directly into the card with your cables, you plug into this adapter, which just does a 180 on it. It plugs into the power ports on the card itself and then, you know, leaves the open end facing back into the case. It's a flat back. It's hard to describe, but, you know, imagine just a tube that you bend 180 degrees. And so, yeah, that's how it works. And it keeps plenty of space away from the case window. The cords are working fine. I need three power cables for this thing because it's power hungry. And don't do the daisy chain method of, you know, plugging in one and then it's got a split on that same cord where you plug into another. Don't do that. That is bad to do with these cards. It puts too much pull, or it puts too much on the cable itself to deliver the power that it needs. It's best to do three separate cables of 8 pins, by the way. So just something to think about when you're doing that. Cleaned out the case, installed brand new. It's installed. I plugged in the same people that make my case also make the light up motherboard cables. They also make light up GPU cables.
I'm just, you know, it will come with time. You'll have the whole thing lit up like.
I think I'm good.
Christmas tree.
Yeah, I think I'm good. Well, maybe. Why not? Why not go overboard with it? Why not?
I mean, I think you're already there, but
right.
It looks great. I mean, you need sunglasses when you walk past the room.
Yeah, it's a little bright. A little bright.
It's a club.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yeah, I got the card installed. I undervolted using MSI Afterburner. That is, so you can do it based on a curve, or you can basically, I just set it to power to go to 80%. Because currently, right now, I'm not playing anything that needs to pull any kind of power like that. Once I do, I'll pop that off and I'll go back to the curve method to say, okay, well, in between this, keep it at this voltage so that it doesn't drop or go higher. So, that's all PC speak is to say that these things are massively drawing more power than they need. And you don't need to do that. You'll get a longer life in the card by pulling down the power that it uses. You're not going to take a hit on, you may take a frame or two on your hit for your frames per second, but nothing, the difference of how many frames you lose over how much power you're pulling is extremely minimal. You're pulling much less power and only losing just a small fraction of frames when you do the undervolting process. So, oh.
Broadcasting from the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control.
We went over. So, yeah, anyway, that's going to do it for us. I have lost the song that I had coming up here. I'm going to try and bring it back to you here. Yeah, it's Trek to Yomi. We'll just do that. Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. This is what happens when you... get me going on a rant here. Thanks to everybody who joined us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the radio and on the stream. Sorry for all that jumbly stuff. We're going to get out of here. Terry is on the way next. Go to ingamechat.net. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Discord, Steam. We're all over the place. Just go to our website, ingamechat.net. You guys have a great one. Chris, thanks for calling. Biloxi Gambler, thanks for calling. Everybody in the chat room, thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll see you next Saturday. Good night.